let us see the first scripture of the 2026 Gospel of Luke 2, chapter 2, verse 21-32. On the eighth day, when it was time to circumcise the child, he was named Jesus, the name that an angel had given him before he was conceived. When the time came for the purification rite required by the law of Moses, Joseph and Mary took him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. As it was written in the Lord of the Lord, every firstborn male is to be consecrated to the Lord and to offer sacrifice in keeping with what is said in the Lord of the Lord, a pair of doves and two young pigeons. Now there was a man in Jerusalem called Simeon, who was righteous and devout. He was waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was on him. It had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not die before he had seen the Lord's Messiah. Moved by the Spirit, he went into the temple courts. When the parents brought in the child, Jesus, to do for him what the custom of the Lord required, Simeon took him in his arm and praised God, saying, "Sovereign Lord, as you have promised, you may now dismiss your servant in peace, for my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the sight of all nations, a light for revelation to the Gentile and to the glory of your people Israel." Happy New Year. I'm excited to begin this year by worshiping together with all of you. I would like to share a message based on the passage we just read. Are you having a slow New Year's Day? It doesn't happen for the families who have a small child. What we think all the time as a parents is that how are we going to spare the kids' energy. As our family's tradition, we go out to the park and so that children can refresh their energy out in the wild. So it is often said when you feel tired from daily life, walking in the nature is a good way to refresh yourself. Fresh air and moderate exercise have a refreshing effect. When we encounter natural world, we are created by God, we gain various insights. Many of these evoke that sense of eternal life. The sunrise is one example. Even as evening comes, the sun disappears into the darkness. This evokes that sense of life ending and moving toward the death. Yet the next day, the sun rises again with the morning sun. We find the hope of resurrection. The changing season of Japan carries this same message. From autumn into winter, plants wither, and many leaves shed their leaves. Winter evokes thoughts of death. But when spring arrives, new life begins to sprout. Here we see resurrection beyond death. Even insects carries the same message. Many of you may not like them, but caterpillar eventually it ceases moving and become pupae. Their lively movements and vibrant appearance fade away. They stop moving. This evokes the image of death. But after completing the pupal stage, they break free from the cocoon. A beautiful butterfly spread their wings and fly into the sky. I feel these are the signs from God, telling us that a wonderful world awaits beyond the death of our lives. However, many people do not know the way to reach the wonderful world that awaits beyond the death. Nowadays, more people are engaging in end-of-life planning. They prepare for death while still healthy, organizing their estates, declaring their positions. Yet when considering preparation for death, I believe this should be the top priority. It is to believe in Jesus Christ, especially for those who haven't yet made that decision. And inevitably, this next thing also becomes the highest priority for us Christians before we die, is to share the gospel of Jesus Christ with loved ones who do not yet to know Him, because here lies our best preparation for death. Today's passage features Simeon, a man who met Jesus Christ in his final year, just as he was approaching the end of his life. Today, we will see, we will focus on Simeon and look at 3 points under the theme, He would not die before he has seen the Lord's Messiah. First point will be, all people await the Savior. Today's passage describes event about 40 days after Jesus Christ was born. Verse 22, when the time came for the purification rite required by the Lord of Moses, Joseph and Mary took him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. At that time, mother who gave birth to boys had 40 days purification period. This was a regulation to ensure women who had given birth had sufficient rest. The family spent 40 days in Bethlehem, and when that period ended, they stopped in Jerusalem before returning to their hometown of Nazareth. The reason was to give thanks to the God for the child and to offer worship to the temple. At that time, it was customary to offer a sacrificial animals at the temple during the ceremony. While a lamb was the standard offering, it is written that what Jesus' family offered was a pair of turtle doves and 2 young pigeons. This was a provision made for these 2 poor to afford a lamb. For here, we can see that Jesus' family was poor. There, they encountered an old man named Simeon. Verse 25. Now there was a man in Jerusalem called Simeon, who was righteous and devout. He was awaiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was on him. The Bible does not state Simeon's age, but since it was customary among Jews for elders to bless children, he was undoubtedly an elderly man. And he says he was a righteous and devout, awaiting for the consolation of Israel. What was the situation in Israel during the Simeon's lifetime? This era followed the past glory of King David and Simeon, Solomon, and Israel was under the Roman oppression. Amidst this, a voice among the people grew louder, longing for their Savior, prophesied in the Old Testament. They were waiting for the comfort that would come with the Messiah's arrival. There is a profound point to consider here. At that time, Simeon and the people of Israel were waiting for the Savior to come. In the same way, it can be said that every person living today, even if they are unaware of it, it is potentially seeking a Savior in depth of their soul. Looking back through the history, traces remain in the culture of every ethnic group and tribe worldwide of seeking and worshiping a great being. Even those who do not normally believe in God instantly say, God, help me. when they're drawing in the water, they say, God help me. Why do people instinctively seek God even though no one taught them to? The Bible explains the reason. Genesis chapter 1, verse 27. God created man in his own image. Human was made in God's form as a spiritual being, naturally designed to seek him. Yet, because many do not know the true God, they wander in confusion. Throughout history, countless people have created idol gods and worshipped them. And over time, object of human worship began to shift towards visible things. When considering modern object of worship, the first thing that comes to mind is the value system of Romanticism. TV drama and artist lyrics sings of the wonder of love. Love is everything. If we're united with the one we love, our hearts will be fulfilled. But is that a true case? Someone once said, modern society has elevated romantic love and sexual relationships to the secret status. Yet looking at those who already possess them, they do not seem to have attained true happiness. Other object of worship for today includes materialism, the desire for status and honor, and so on. Some even worship drugs and alcohol. But even if we were to possess these things as object of worship, our hearts will never be truly satisfied. Our hearts can be only truly satisfied within our relationship with that true God. Today, many find their soul longing and empty. There is a desperate search for something that can fill this deep void within the human heart. Is there nothing that can save us? Many people are subconsciously longing for a being who can lift up their lives and savior. They just do not know who that might be. There's a documentary film by Bill Moyers about a song Amazing Grace. It had a scene that left a lasting impression. That scene was from a concert held at Wembley Stadium in London. Lots of different acts played, but mostly rock bands. Rock bands and metal bands at high volume, and the 70,000 fans gathered there was already high on alcohol and drugs. Then finally, the last performer appears. For some reason, the organizer had chosen opera singer. Jesse Norman, whose genre was different from the previous performer, to be the last act. The spotlight followed Norman as she walked to the center of the stage. There was no backing bands or no chorus. It was just her. Almost no one in the audience knew she was an opera singer. Most of the audience shouted for the encore from the rock bands that just finished performing. Amidst this, Jesse Norman stood alone at the center of the stage, slowly began to sing Amazing Grace a cappella. Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. I was blind, but I see. That night, something remarkable happened. The audience of 70,000 fell in silence before her singing, digging deep into their memories for words they had learned. In the past, the crowd began to sing the verse of Amazing Grace one by one. Eventually, the voice of thousands united into one grand thunderous choir. What power moved through Wembley Stadium that night? It was God's grace. Through that simple melody, God worked in the hearts of those trying to fill their thirst with alcohol, drugs, and wild partying. And they truly realized what their hearts were seeking, God's grace. The world is seeking a savior. So into whose hands did God entrust the work of proclaiming this good news? Let us look at second points. You will never die until you see Christ. At this time, God had given Simeon, who was waiting for the Savior, a specific promise. Simeon had been told by the Holy Spirit that he would never see death until he had seen the Lord Christ. You will never die until you see Christ. This can be said to be God's desire for all people. Because Jesus Christ died on the cross for the sins of all people, he desires everyone to receive that salvation. That is God's will. And who did God choose to fulfill that divine desire? It is us who had already received the salvation. This is what we must tell those who do not yet know Jesus Christ. The Bible declares that we were in a state of sin, separated from God, dead and unable to enter the heaven after death. Jesus Christ came to this earth to remove that sin that stood as a barrier between us and God. He bore that sin on the cross in our place, suffered a punishment in our stead, died and rose again on the third day, thereby solving the problem of sin. And anyone who receives that Jesus Christ's death on the cross and resurrection were for the purpose of solving our sins, we were forgiven and given the hope of going to the heaven. This is the good news, the gospel. When we are young, few may consciously think about death. But Japan is now an aging society. So today, we live in an era where many people are becoming aware that death is approaching their own lives. Knowing that our time is limited for our families, it is essential that we share the gospel within them. There's people only you can reach with the gospel. Of course, we're here to help. If among you or among your friends there are those who are conscious of death or facing death and wishing to hear about the gospel, please contact the pastors. You will not die before you see the Christ. That is God's desire for all people. Let's look at the last point. The peace given to those who receive the salvation. When Simeon held that promised infant, the Savior, Jesus Christ, praise overflowed from his lips. This praise later becomes Nunc Dimittis, a hymn sung across the ages. When Simeon saw and held the Savior, He was filled with the peace and said, Sovereign God, Sovereign Lord, as you have promised, you may now dismiss your servant in peace, for my eyes have seen your salvation. This is also the peace given to us when we believe in Jesus Christ and face death. When we are certain that heaven is prepared for us after death, we are freed from the fear of death and can approach in peace. For those who have received salvation through the cross, Jesus Himself is waiting beyond our death. In the 1800s, there was a famous American evangelist named John Todd. He was born into a large family in Vermont. But his parents died when he was still young. While he was grieving, a wealthy aunt reached out to him. She offered to take him in. To welcome the 6-year-old John, she specially sent a horse and a talkative servant to ease his anxiety. On the way to the house, the servant continually encouraged a nervous boy. As they neared the house late at night, lights were still burning. Their servant said, Young master, the mistress is waiting up for you. This aunt became like a mother to him, and John grew up surrounded by her deep love. Eventually, he received a good education and became a renowned evangelist. Decades later, the lady fell ill and was laying on her deathbed. In her anxiety, she asked John one day, What will become of me now? Will my Savior Jesus protect me? John replied, Do you remember that night you welcomed me into your home? Before I arrived, you had everything prepared and stayed awake, waiting for me. Now, Jesus is preparing everything for you in heaven and waiting for you. The aunt departed for heaven in peace. Those who believe in Jesus Christ can declare with the same peace Simeon received in today's passage. Sovereign Lord, as you have promised, you may now dismiss your servant in peace, for my eyes have seen your salvation. We look at Simeon's story. God has already prepared a special plan especially for our church. We hope to see people encountered in gospel with what we share and get the ticket to the heaven. Let us pray and hope that somebody we love will encounter Jesus' love this year. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for this New Year's worship. We look at the Simeon story under the theme of how he will never die until he sees Christ. All people are longing for the Savior. And that Savior is Jesus Christ. And the problem of sin has already solved by the Jesus Christ on the cross. So as Simeon reached his death in peace. We hope that everyone who we love, everyone will receive that same peace. Please use us so that we can share that gospel, that good news with the people surrounding us. God had already, we believe that God had already prepared the plan that our loved one will be saved by your grace. In Jesus' name, amen. Let us pray with our own words. The grace of Jesus Christ, the love of the Father, an intimate relationship with the Holy Spirit. We hope that everything of them will be on us.